What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 120. Today, we're going to be talking about the difference between inorganic and organic fruits and vegetables. So there's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's a lot of just confusion of, you know, what that extra cost gets you. You know, is it better food quality? Is it just healthier overall, less pesticides, things like that? So we're going to break that down, cover all that stuff. But first, the article of the week this week is titled, Studies Relegate LDL to Lesser Role in Atherosclerotic Disease. And you can find this article on the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. It's pretty interesting. It's not that long, but it is kind of complex, so we'll break it down a little bit now. But I pulled this one just because, you know, we have our whole series on statins, and me and Tom have talked about the just obsession that modern medicine has with LDL and why it's such a flawed marker. So we're just going to talk about that briefly. So Tom, you want to talk about this article?
Yeah, so just starting off, so they after they do this, these like two different studies that they mentioned in this article, both of them showing that LDL is not a very good predictor. They do talk about, so does this mean we're going to stop looking at LDL as a predictor?
No. Nope.
They're like, nope, we have mountains of evidence saying that it is a great predictor. So these studies don't really mean much at this point. I was like, I just kind of rolled my eyes when I read that. I was like, oh my God, what are we getting into? What mountains of evidence are you talking about? We just went through an entire series about how the mountains of evidence that you're talking about show LDL is a horrible predictor. So whatever.
Horrible predictor. I thought that was so funny too. Like I noticed that, right? I mean, obviously you read the article, you can't help but notice it, but they say like, we do these studies and this is the conclusion, but we're not going to listen to it. And I'm like, man, I was like, all right.
Yeah. And the only flaw that I found in this study was that they were only looking at white people. So there wasn't like that big of a, like, there's not a lot of diversity in the study.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only flaw. But I mean, like they're looking at a big enough sample size that it's still going to be relevant. But yeah, like, so just kind of talking about the study, they found that remnant cholesterol and VLDL, which is like very low density lipoprotein, are much better predictors. And they don't talk about this, but they just kind of showed that another great predictor, and me and you have talked about this many times, is the whole triglyceride to HDL ratio.
Uh-huh.
They found that if that was over 3, that's a great predictor, even though they don't really talk about it. They just kind of showed that in the data.
Yeah, it's the article was frustrating in that sense because it's the same thing we've seen a million times where this is just, I mean, not that I'm a scientist, like, Lord knows I'm not, but just the way the scientific method works, like even if you have the most beautiful hypothesis, I mean, it's like, it's tied up like a bow, it's pretty. If you have one test, one experiment, prove that hypothesis wrong, I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how hard you worked on it. Your hypothesis is wrong. You need to rework it. That's what the whole scientific method does. It's designed to disprove theories. And the ones that are disprove hypotheses. And the ones who aren't disprovable, those eventually turn to theories and those become true. You know, and then we can base our treatments off of those theories. We can base our whole, you know, guidelines off of those theories. But the whole Diethard hypothesis, which is the kind of backbone for the hatred of LDL, has been disproved backwards and forwards so many times. But for whatever reason, and again, we have the whole statin series, so you can find it on the website. So we break down LDL for, I think, 6 episodes, so you can just listen to that. But no matter what, the foundation just hasn't crumbled yet as far as the medical world kind of forgetting about LDL.
Yeah, one thing that I found pretty interesting is they showed, like, the in this trial that the subjects that were the highest risk of having a cardiovascular incident were on a statin drug.
Yeah, funny, huh? Yeah, these are supposed cure-alls, you know what I mean? Yeah, statins are just poison, man. But yeah, that's article. I just wanted to bring that up because as much as I can, I want to tell people not to worry about LDL. And not that it's a completely useless thing. Like, you know, our metabolism can be hijacked through poor nutrition, poor lifestyle, disease, all that type of stuff. And LDL can get thrown out of whack. But LDL is not the actual problem. You know what I mean? It's just a symptom of the root cause. So if you want to learn more about that, we have plenty of articles on the website, so you can check that out. And yeah, anything else you want to say about it?
No, I think that's, we covered it good enough.
Just a bit, yeah. But so yeah, let's get into this week's podcast, which is something we wanted to talk about for a while. And we've been requested, like, hey, you know, should I buy organic? Should I not buy organic? And this is something, you see this every day, right? People always talk about this. They just really don't know the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of confusing. And honestly, this is not really a topic that I cared about up until recently, because the last three books I've read are all to do with like soil health. So this topic went from something I could kind of care less about like 3 months ago to probably like one of the most important like discussions that we could possibly have right now.
Yeah, and I think you're going to notice Tom's probably going to get more depressed over the next few months, because the more you learn about soil, the sadder you get. It just seems to be how it is, you know? But yeah, we talk about soil. You might be wondering, like, you know, why are you talking about soil in this podcast? And that's because the term organic has way more to do with soil health than anybody actually knows. And it's really just, that's the foundation of the term organic. So just to start off, you know, people assume the term organic means the food is healthier for you than non-organic options. And this isn't true. Like, organic sugar can give you diabetes just as fast as non-organic sugar. Just being labeled organic doesn't mean the food is just automatically good for you. And that's an assumption a lot of people make. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast, you know, to really break down the difference between organic and non-organic, so you can make informed decisions when you shop for food for you and your family. And people assume that since organic food is usually more expensive, I mean, it is, it just simply is more expensive, that it must be more nutritious than traditionally farmed foods. But that's not true in most cases. And people also assume that organic foods are free from harmful pesticides that are used in non-organic farming. And we've talked about them a million things like Roundup, stuff like that. But this isn't true either. Organic foods are sprayed with pesticides. They are just organic pesticides. And some of these pesticides have just as harmful drug profiles as non-organic pesticides. Things like the big two are like copper sulfate and rotenone. And I might completely pronounce that wrong. It looks like rotten one. I don't know how to pronounce this pesticide's name. But both of these pesticides have harmful profiles, you know, if ingested by humans in certain amounts, you know, just like any other pesticide. So it's not like these organic pesticides are completely harm-free. That's not true. And a big one that's come up, that if you notice, you'll usually see it in dairy. I notice it a lot of the times, and they'll add it to milk. It's something called carrageenan. And this is an approved organic ingredient that has been shown to be very inflammatory. And it comes from red seaweed. So people assume it's natural, therefore it's safe. You know, you get these blanket terms like, oh, it's a natural flavor, it's a natural seasoning, therefore it's safe. But I mean, guess what? Natural cyanide found in apple seeds. Go eat 20 apple seeds and tell me how you feel. You know what I mean? That natural cyanide will kill you real quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So a pesticide has to be harmful. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a pesticide.
Thank you. Yeah.
It has to be harmful. It has to be harmful.
Killing something.
To kill insects, to make larger animals like rodents and maybe even deer make them sick, so they want to like stay away from that food. So maybe these pesticides aren't enough to kill us, but you keep eating enough of them and you will eventually get sick. I mean, eventually it will lead to an early death, but like most likely what's going to happen is that you're going to get sick and you won't really notice it because everybody is sick today.
Everybody's sick. Yeah, that's a great point.
The only like pesticide that I know of that wouldn't be like harmful to us, but it wouldn't kill all pesticides, is called dichotomous earth. And it basically, I know it kills slugs, and I think it kills snails. I don't know what other things it kills, but it's basically like a bunch of like tiny little sharp rocks that snails and slugs can't crawl across. But that's not going to do anything to us. It's not going to do anything to a deer. It's not going to do anything to a rat. So I'd be like, that's kind of more for your home garden than a monocrop of like corn or soy.
Okay, so it's like a physical barrier.
It's a physical one, not a chemical one.
Yeah, all these other ones are like chemical warfare. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what exactly does the organic label mean? You know, when you see an organic sticker on a apple, what does it mean? And this is actually regulated through the government. It's very official. It's not like you can just put organic stickers on whatever you want. And this comes from the Organic Foods Production Act, which was enacted under Title 21 of a 1990 Farm Bill. And this served to establish a uniform national standards for the production handling of food labeled as organic. And so the organic definition, this is by the USDA, is like this. So organic agriculture is an ecological production management system that promotes and enhances biodiversity, biological cycles, and soil biological activity. It is based on minimal use of off-farm inputs and on management practices that restore, maintain, and enhance ecological harmony. Organic agriculture practices cannot ensure that products are completely free of residues. However, methods are used to minimize pollution from air, soil, and water. Organic food handlers, processors, and retailers adhere to standards that maintain the integrity of organic agriculture products. The primary goal of organic agriculture is to optimize the health and productivity of interdependent communities of soil life, plants, animals, and people. And all that sounds good to me. You know, I'm totally down for all of that stuff. But you notice nutrition quality wasn't mentioned once at all. It's all about soil health. And I think people just don't know that.
Yeah, it's all about soil health and the environmental health overall. I mean, that's a great way to go if you want to battle things like climate change and stuff like that. But yeah, health was not part of this plan at all.
At all, yeah. So this is what kind of a list of what organic farming entails, like literally what they have to do on the farm to make it organic. So organic farming uses cover crops, green manures, and animal manures, and crop rotations to fertilize the soil, maximize biological activity, and maintain long-term soil health. And you might have mentioned that we've talked about crop rotations on, we recently did a review of the movie/book Sacred Cow, and they've talked about regenerative agriculture and crop rotations and kind of the intermingling of plants and animals on farmland, which is how nature intended it. And this is kind of along that same vein. That's what organic farming is trying to do, is trying to get these just plots of land back to a more sustainable and natural way to produce these foods. Because having these huge monocrop fields of, you know, thousands of acres of just corn, nothing natural about that, and it takes a ton of input from outside of the farm to keep it like that. Like we talked about it, what is a Leanne Kerr call monocropping, something genocide, do you remember that term?
I think it's just genocide.
Did you say genocide? Yeah, that's what you have to do for monocrops. You know, these big corn, soy fields, wheat fields. You have to kill everything except for that one thing. But with organic farms, they try and incorporate all of it.
And maybe it's biological genocide?
Biological genocide. Yeah, that's probably what she says. Yeah. Okay, so they use organic farms, use biological controls, crop rotations, and other techniques to manage weeds, insects, and diseases. They don't simply just rely on heavy, heavy use of insecticides and pesticides, things like that. They emphasis on biodiversity of agricultural systems and the surrounding environment. So again, they just don't have one field with one crop on it. And it's really like a reduction of external and off-farm inputs and the elimination of synthetic pesticides and fertilizers and other materials such as hormones and antibiotics. So there's a lot of, if you think about it, just greenhouse gas emissions and just gas burning coal, getting trucks from different farms, bringing in manure from different farms. And that just burns a lot of fossil fuels. So what organic farming tries to do, it tries to keep it as local as possible. So you're getting all the stuff you need on this farm from that farm. And that's a good thing, you know. And it focuses on renewable resources of soil and water and soil and water conservation, which is obviously a huge thing. We've talked about it, how there's just not a lot of land left for food, you know, like arable land it's called. There's not a lot left. And so those are really the practices that organic farmers have to adhere by. And like I said at the beginning, all that stuff is great, but it's not going to result in, you know, your organic strawberry being 10 times more nutritious than a non-organic strawberry. That's just not what we're talking about.
Yes, but I still think like organic should be the way to go, because I don't know. I know we've talked a lot about how important soil health is, but if we want to have food for just us, for our children, for our grandchildren, and so on, the only way is to focus on these like regenerative agriculture. That's the only way possible, because these monocrops are eventually just going to dry up that land, and it's just going to turn into just a barren wasteland. And not only does soil, regenerative agriculture help out the soil, but that healthy soil keeps water. So we don't, like, it will turn into a desert, these monocrops, eventually, because they're stripping the soil of all the nutrients. Once that soil is stripped of all its nutrients, water is not going to be there anymore. So mm-hmm. It's going to become a dry wasteland.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, focusing on this is not only like a cure for climate change, but it's a cure for like world hunger and like so many other things. So I don't want to like skip over that. Like, this is so vitally important.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, it's just, it can't be overemphasized that these practices and the focus on soil health isn't just about, you know, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like feeling good about yourself, like pat on the back, go on buying organic. It's like, no, this is literally, we're talking about our entire species as a whole. Like, that's it, yeah. You know?
Yeah, because like I think what it's eventually going to happen is once soil health really starts to decline, like that's going to have to lead to like a World War III.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
see there's any way around it.
Yeah, 100%. And so to talk real quick about the nutritional differences between organic and non-organic, there are papers on both sides of the argument. So there are some saying that organic food is more nutritious, and there are some saying it's not, you know, and they have papers and studies where they go out there and they literally pull crops, they measure the amount of nutrients and they compare them, right? And I believe personally that the nutrition variation found in these studies has way more to do with climate, season, and various soil conditions in which these crops were taken from, not whether they were organic or not. So like when buying organic foods, don't expect to get more nutrition for your money. There's just, there's so much variation. Me and Tom talked about it briefly earlier, that it's kind of a crapshoot, you know? There's so many angles, so many variables.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into like the nutritional content of like fruits and veggies, like you were talking about the season and stuff like that. So, for example, if you're eating, like, apples have an extremely long shelf life. So if you're eating, like, apples raised from Washington in, like, May or June, most likely those apples were picked in October of the previous year. So you're eating, like, a 9-month, 10-month-old apple. That's probably not going to have the same nutritional content as ones that were picked, like, fresh and more ripe at, like, the end of October, early November.
Mm-hmm.
So just, like, when it's picked is going to have a big difference. If you're eating fruit and veggies coming from Chile or somewhere from South America and that shit has to get shipped all the way over here, yeah, that's not going to have the same nutritional content as you buying something from your local farmer's market that was picked earlier that day or earlier that week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of that has to go with it. The season, as well, the climate, all these other things, the soil conditions. I would think, like, I would bet money that organic would be better in most cases because organic should have better soil,
mm-hmm.
but that's not really a guarantee because there's so many other factors that go into it.
Yeah, exactly. If I was a betting man and you gave me like an organic strawberry, a non-organic strawberry, and you said which one's more nutritious, and I would say the organic because Tom said there's more, I guess, variables on your side, but it's not that much. It's just what it is. It's similar to like grass-fed versus grain-fed beef, in my opinion. Like, is grass-fed beef healthier? Yeah, it is. There's a little bit more vitamins, a little bit more this, but it's not that much. And so that's the gist of it there. But
if every other factor was equal, I would say organic is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many like unknowns because like I don't really know what like when certain fruits and veggies were picked. I don't know how ripe they were. I don't know how long it took for it to get from that farm to my grocery store or anything like that. There's just too many unknowns for you to really know.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why, like, when going for organic and non-organic, don't worry about the nutrition. The biggest win in organic farming practices is acknowledgement of soil health and how their produce is created. So overall, we need to support farms that care about soil health. Like, we need to promote soil health. We need to promote the education of why it's so important that our soils needs to stay healthy. And like I said, we talked about it recently in the Sacred Cow podcast. So go back and listen to that if you really want to. But damn near everyone's number one priority should be our soil. Because all through history, when great civilizations fall, it started with the depletion of their soil integrity. And I know this because I read a book on this, and it was the most dull, boring book you ever read in your life, and honestly very depressing, you know. But just look back at like the Romans, right? The Romans were one of the greatest civilizations ever. If you were in the middle of the Roman Empire, like the heyday, and you're just whatever, some guy, you could never see an end to the Roman Empire. It would just be like, no, we're going to keep crushing it. You know what I mean? We're going to keep winning. We're going to keep winning. But they were around for twice as long as the United States. Just to put, you know, time in perspective, because obviously we're in America now, at least me and Tom are, and we can never see America falling. It's like, no, we're crushing it. But Romans fell, and if they fell, because their crops started failing. And then once that happens, it kind of snowballs downhill. And of course, plenty of other things happened as well. But crops failing was a huge part of it. And Tom talked about the like literal desertification of the world. Like, our world, it will turn into a desert if we rely on these monocrops. There's areas, it's not called the Great Basin, but what, like the Mediterranean back in the day, what was that called? I don't remember now.
I don't know. I was just thinking of ancient Egypt, and every time I see ancient Egypt, like all you just see is just like a desert wasteland. And it's like, how is this the greatest civilization like on Earth at one point? Like, how are they able to support such a great, like, vast population? It's because, it didn't look like that back then.
No, yeah.
There was green shit everywhere. They had water back then. Like, yep. It was like a completely different environment.
That's all I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to bring up Iraq and Iran, the Middle East right now, because that's that same area. That's kind of like the OG humans thousands of years ago. That's when we really started crushing it back in the day. And that area, look at the pictures. It was not like that. It was literally green, lush, almost jungle-esque. Think of like the rainforest where you had life everywhere. And of course you can support the, you know, genesis of a bunch of great civilizations with that nutrition. And, but now it's not like that. Now it's literally a desert. And that can happen everywhere. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in America. Everywhere where we have these huge, huge fields of monocrops, it destroys the soil to a point where it can come back, but it's going to take forever and it's going to take a lot of time. But this stuff, it does happen, and it's scary, and we need to, you know, take steps to fix it. And I think that's why going organic and trying to support organic produce and fruits and meats is very important.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. I mean, eventually, like, if we keep doing this, there are a lot of people that think like we can innovate our way out of this problem.
I hope so. A part of me hopes that happens.
But I feel like we have already hacked our way kind of out of this problem by being able to turn like fossil fuels into soil. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that is the biohack. I don't know what the next biohack would be.
Yes, yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I don't.
And, like, there's already a bunch of issues that are coming from that process. So it's like, we need to do stuff that we know is sustainable and to switch over as much as we possibly can to that method.
Yeah, no, it's true. But there are some other angles to consider. So, like, if organic is so great, if it's so, you know, at least from a soil standpoint, very beneficial, can all farms go organic? And should all farms go organic? And I think this question is complex, and we're definitely not going to break it all down today because it would be a whole podcast in itself. But it is estimated that by 2050, the demand for food is going to increase by 59 to 98%, which is huge due to the ever-increasing global population. And organic farming, if every farm was organic, it will have a hard time meeting this demand. And this is mainly because agricultural yields would be about 40% lower. Traditional farming and monocrops, I mean, they're honestly terrible. We should have never started this shit like 10,000 years ago. But one thing they're real good at is increasing yield. They'll get you every ounce of corn possible that this little plot of land can produce. And when we have, let's say, 10 billion people on the planet, that might be something you really need to consider, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if the yields stay the same, we can support that, because I think it's about one third of the food produced is just goes into waste, because it's either, like, the carrot doesn't look perfect, it has two legs, so they're like, oh, nobody's going to buy this from the store, so they just kind of waste it. And then, like, restaurants buy way more food than they need because they can't have, like, somebody come to the restaurant and them running out of a certain item, so they overbuy everything. There's, like, a lot of issues with just, like, the amount of food waste. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, itself. I think that is, you're right, it is a whole other podcast. But that is an area where we talk about, like, innovation, we talk about, like, a hack. There has to be a better way to manage this, because we waste so much food, it's stupid. You're right. Even right now, if we never increase the amount of food we produce, let's say like 2020, that was it topped out, we can feed the world, even if there were a couple more billion people, with this amount of food right now. But we just don't have the infrastructure, we don't have the policies, we don't have the, I guess, general mindset to be as efficient as possible with the food we make, which makes no sense.
Yeah, and there's also, like, we grow so much corn, and, like, most of that corn isn't even, like, made to be, like, edible food. Like, most of that corn is used for either ethanol, which is just, you know, alcohol, mm-hmm. or it's used for high fructose corn syrup. So we're not growing a bunch of corn for us to eat. We're growing a bunch of corn for us to get drunk and to put into soda. Yeah. So, like, we're making a bunch of corn to get us sick. We're not making a bunch of corn for food. So if we kind of, like, made a little bit of adjustments in our agriculture, like, we could definitely continue this going on. But like we said, the soil health is a big issue, and how long is that going to be sustainable for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so simply having every farm go organic maybe isn't the answer. You know, there's definitely an argument to have there, but there are some hard facts that there are a ton of people on the planet and we need to find ways to feed them. So that's just what it is, you know? And it's just, it's hard and people don't want to talk about it, you know, like it's just, there was never, humans are like a big, I don't know, big virus. You know what I mean? Like this planet was never designed to have this many people on it, but we're just real good at reproducing.
Yeah. We're too smart for our own good. We've kind of figured out way too many ways to just kind of hack nature. I feel like agriculture itself was like the first hack that we figured out to just kind of override or outsmart the system, and then we just kept making more and more innovations after that.
Yeah, that ball just went downhill and it still like hasn't stopped rolling at all. But so yeah, there are a few sources out there or resources out there that can help you find good quality organic products. So the one that's good for meat and dairy is American Grass-Fed Association. So that's like an AGA label, and it ensures that the animals are born and raised on American family farms, fed only grass and forage from weaning until harvest, and raised on pasture without confinement to feedlots. So if you see the AGA label on a piece of beef, piece of chicken, whatever, you can trust that that's actually pretty good to go. And one that I really like that I've used a lot in the past with eggs is something called Cornucopias. They have an organic dairy scorecard and they have an organic egg scorecard. So you can literally just go to Cornucopias. It's Cornucopias, like .com to search that. And it'll give you a list of all these they're all fairly small farms, organic farms. And it'll tell you their scores, how their eggs are, how their milk is, how they produce it. It's like all as much information as you could possibly want. So I would definitely recommend going to Cornucopia's Institute like website and just check that out. It's really good. And
yeah, a couple other things. I mean, me and Tyson do this a lot. Buy from local farmers. I mean, either at the farmer's market. If you live in a big enough city, you might have like a food co-op who are buying places are buying from farms that are like 100 to 200 miles like radius away. So you can be buying fresh and local is a great way to kind of do the right thing and to support your local economy. I know Imperfect Foods, they do sell those like two-legged carrots and like kind of weird looking fruits and veggies that are perfectly safe to eat, but for whatever reason they just aren't going to make their way into the grocery store. So there are some places that are trying to address this whole system.
Yeah, what's God, I can't remember the name of the beef at the co-op that we go to. That's do you remember the beef brand? Do you remember it? It's Red something.
You know, I do not remember.
God, I totally forget. I wish I just it's completely like it's on the tip of my tongue, but I forget. But a lot of the beef I get. Sometimes it's organic, sometimes it's not, but this brand, it's very local. Yeah, I think it's like whatever, 20, 30 miles from where I'm at. And it's technically not organic because the farm is small. And if they actually were to go out and get the official organic label, it would cut so much into their profits that they would go broke. So they still focus very much on, soil health. They focus very much on animal quality of life and animal health. So I still support them even though they're not organic. So if you're out there, you find, like Tom said, co-ops, local butchers, things like that, it might not necessarily have the organic label, but talk to people and you can still find a bunch of quality local food that you know, might, like I said, have the exact organic label on it, you know.
Yeah, I forget the name of the farm that I've been buying my pork from, but I honestly prefer their pork chops to like most like store-bought like ribeyes or like New York Six. Like they're that good and they're like forest raised. I've seen like pictures of their pigs, like I've seen pictures of their farm, and I can see and taste the difference when I buy their meat. So like I know they're doing the right thing because those pork chops are 1,000 times better than the pork chops I can get from the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people do say that. They say that they notice a difference in taste with organic versus non-organic. And I personally don't. Like, it's not something I really noticed. But that could be due to nutritional quality. Could be due to water content. Could be due to a bunch of different things. But that's not really... It shouldn't be that big of a factor as far as the actual raising of it. Because like I said, nutrition isn't part of the organic label at all. It's really just about soil health and just the ecology of the whole system in which the plants and animals are raised. And like the whole end point I really wanted to say is just you should really buy the highest quality food you can afford. Like, I don't think you should go out and go broke buying organic kiwis because you get, like, you feel the social pressure to do so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great point because sometimes, like, the difference between organic and, like, normal will be $2.20 a pound versus $2 a pound. It's like, okay, in that case, buy the organic.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at $7 a pound versus $1 a pound, like, maybe not. A good reference guide that I normally use when I'm at the grocery store is EWG.org. They have a Dirty Dozen list of like the top 12 like heavily sprayed pesticides, like with the very harmful pesticides. And then they have like a Clean 15, which are ones that they don't find as much pesticide residue on. So like the Clean 15 are stuff that you don't really need to worry about if it's safer or not. But like that Dirty Dozen list is like, hey, don't be buying these because these are the ones that contain a lot of glyphosate and these like really harmful synthetic pesticides. Mm-hmm. So that's a good reference guide, the EWG Dirty Dozen and Clean 15.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information there on that website, so check that out for sure. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it with organic versus non-organic. And I think people need to know that. The end of the day, like, I 100% recommend buying organic. I recommend supporting organic agriculture. And if you can't afford it, you know, like I said, don't go broke buying some fancy organic stuff. But if you can, if you got it like that, I recommend doing that, because we all need to do our part in just protecting the health of our soil. And because trust me, when it goes, we're all going to realize it, and it's going to suck.
Yeah, it's not something I really realized was that important until, like, I started hearing a little bit more about it. And now I feel like that is the most important thing, like, in the world.
Yeah, it really is. All right, you have anything else to add to it, or think that was good?
There is a lot more I could add to this, but it'll make this like a 5-hour long podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think we should probably cut it there.
Cut it there, yeah. So, all right, yeah, you can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. Hope you guys like the podcast. Hope you learned something. Feel free to reach out, Twitter, Instagram, anytime.
Yeah, please share your support and rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. I hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.